Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum, take it from Spoon, and lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon coming to you live from Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie, Penn, my hometown. Yeah, you go ahead and laugh. I know you want to. Because I've been begging to get you to come up to Erie. We are here at the brewery at Union Station, and we are joined by the owner and the brewmaster. Guys, say your name.
I'm Chris. I'm the general manager. It's Chris Sirianni, and I'm sitting right here next to Gary Burley, vice president and brewer.
Hello, hello, hello. Let's go Steelers.
Sports fan, I see.
That's the kind of stuff I like to hear.
Yeah, you know me, though, dude. I'm definitely not a sports fan, but I am a craft beer freak. So let's get started with these samplers these guys provided. What's the first one? Oh, we got a Hefeweizen, don't we?
The first one is a Hefeweizen. It is a traditional German wheat beer, 60% 40% wheat, 60% pale ale. This damn microphone in front of me, it really upsets me. But it's 60% pale malt and 40% Wiesen, and it's also done with white yeast 3333, which is a standard German yeast.
Awesome, man. Ready to give these a shot, Spoon?
Absolutely. First one of the night. Cheers.
Cheers.
Liars.
First sampling for the show for the night.
Ooh. That's nice and crisp. I like that. I didn't know we were chugging the whole thing.
Well, I wasn't going to chug, but I was encouraged by the bar patrons to tip it up and get rid of it, so...
Yes,
I had to comply, yeah. That's a very good wheat. I like that. And everybody on our show knows I'm not a huge fan of wheat beers, but that's good.
We have a common bond here with the whole shaved head. Wow, that's really good.
I've been lazy with mine, dude, yeah. Yeah.
Just doesn't work, man. Wear the hat.
That's why I have the hat on. So. Exactly.
Now, see, for him to say that... He likes the Hefeweizen. It's a big thing because he absolutely hates wheats.
Really?
So you just served him the first wheat he's ever liked.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the bastardized wheat beers where they really screw them up, you know, and make them hardcore. But a normal, you know, the way it's supposed to be, Hefeweizen, I just never cared for. But that one's really, really good. It's really drinkable. And for me to say that, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So before we go on to the next beer, Chris, you want to give us a little history of the brewery?
Actually, yeah, the brewery, we've been here for 1 year now. We're in historic Union Station right downtown Erie. We started this project in 2001 when we were looking for a site downtown to open a brew pub because there wasn't one in this area, anywhere in northwestern PA at the time. Some have come and gone, actually, in the past 6 years, but we're looking to develop something. And like I said, 2001, we started the initial field work, did some studying, toured many, many brew pubs and breweries, and took the better part of 5 years to not only find a home, but just to get our ducks in line and find out the things we should be doing, things we should stay away from doing. So it was a long process, and almost 6 years later, we ended up right here at Union Station and working on a little 3.5-barrel system with... Gary's fermenting 7-barrel fermenter, so he's double brewing to fill those fermenters. But first year was pretty good. We did 15 different beers. We have five staples that are on all the time. The other 10 were seasonals, and this year hopefully bump it up to another couple seasonals and make it a dozen. So good first year.
That's awesome, man.
So what made you finally decide on opening it up here? Because for those people that are unfamiliar, this is an old train station here in Erie with a huge legacy. I mean, there were two former breweries that were in here before. What made you finally decide that this was the place that you wanted to be at?
Well, we actually had a piece of property across the street that we're looking at, which is on Turnpike Street, and we were going to go by Turnpike Brewing Company, and that's what we filed for as far as our corporate paperwork. And that was the original building we were set on. Well, as we were developing and doing a business plan, we come to realize that the space was actually just too small. The project became astronomical in dollars and cents. And actually, the cents was leaving it. And when this building became available in March of 06, we decided to jump on it. There was a restaurant in here previously. And about 12 years ago, Hopper's Brew Pub, which eventually evolved into Erie Brewing Company, they were in here. But we decided the building was empty. It was big enough to fill our needs. And it just made sense. I think the character and the just the aura of this old building, it had been a shame to be left empty or to go turn into something else that just didn't work out. We thought it had the brew pub character, much like Church Brew Works in Pittsburgh, Willoughby in Willoughby, Ohio. You look at the building like, man, that has brew pub written all over it. Not fine dining, not a little diner. It's a brew pub. So, that's why we're here. It became available and we jumped on it. So
that's awesome. It's a pretty historic building and it kicks ass. We'll have some pictures on our website if we don't get too drunk to take pictures later. So
we do have a long weekend coming up here. There is the Great International Beer Festival tomorrow.
Yeah, you want to tell the folks about how that works?
Yeah, we're putting
how that works.
We're putting him to work now.
God, they're putting him to work.
Sweating, guys. It's Friday night.
Birthday, we're putting him to work.
Yeah. No, actually, we've done three festivals our first year. We did a Microfest in April. We worked with WQLN, which is a local PBS affiliate, and that was a fundraiser for them. Huge success. Sold 1,200 tickets for a first-year event. It was awesome.
Awesome.
22 breweries, regional breweries came in. Reps and brewers themselves were in. It was awesome. We did a MyFest with four local my box or box seasonal spring box in May. We just did our Oktoberfest here in September, which is another big hit, and we're finding there's this growing taste in this town. We're a Budweiser town, a little heavy on the Labatt's too up this way. We're up by the border here, right by the Canadian border, so Labatt's is big in this town. And right. And like I was telling you guys earlier, you can go to most bars in this town, you won't find a craft bottle, you won't even find a local Erie brewing product.
You guys are like a diamond in the rough, huh?
We like to think so.
We hope so. I mean, we're the only place you can go and really get craft beer. I mean, there used to be some places, but they've kind of fallen by the wayside, not because of their product, just because of ownership and stuff. But, this is a place where you want to come and you want to try craft brews. Not only do we sell our own beer, but we support Pennsylvania Brewery. A lot of people don't realize that Pennsylvania has had more licensed breweries than any state in the union. We've had 860 some, and that far exceeds California there were breweries in every town that you can think of, and we're trying to support that and saying, hey, look, Pennsylvania has a huge microbrew, small brew family, and that's what we're trying to do.
Kind of similar to what we're doing. We're trying to pimp all the breweries, man.
And if you're lucky enough while we're here this week, I'll take you to where Kohler Brewery used to be.
Sweet.
I did get you a present. Last time I was in town, I took some of the bricks. So now
another brick in the wall, or gone from the wall, I guess.
Actually, Cascade Brewing is still over there, over on State Street, which closed in 1903. The building is still there. and you can go get bricks from it. I've got a couple at home. I was sitting in my living room. Well, they were part of the original Erie Brewery. Erie Brewing started with the Eagle Brewing, which is the one that was on Straight Street, 26th Street, which was the Kohler Brewery, Consumer Brewing, and Cascades. The only two buildings that were left until I won't get into why they tore it down, but the original Eagle Brewery and the Cascade Brewery really is the only one from the original Erie Brewing that is still over there, and it's over on 8th Street. And you can go over and pick up bricks if you so desire.
So if any of our fans need bricks, you know where to go, man. Yeah. A little Erie history, too. That's cool, man.
Erie history that I did not know.
You didn't know Erie history? As much as you pimp Erie to me, you don't know Erie history?
I know Kohler. Everyone in Erie knows Kohler. I did not know about Cascade, though.
Did you know that across the street where the building that we own, where we were going to put the Turnpike Brewery, sits on the piece of property that was initially owned by Major David McNair back in 1814, which was the original brewery in Erie. It sat right across the street from us, and that was one of the reasons we looked at that building and said, this would be perfect. Most people have no idea that that building was there. That ran from 1814 to 1848 as the Erie Brewing. I mean, that was the original Erie Brewing Company that sat over there.
No, I think we have to come back for a second show to just get an eerie history about the beers, man. That's kick-ass.
Well, you know what? Note to self, I am never going up against him for eerie trivia. I thought I knew a lot. He just kicked my ass.
Wouldn't that be beery trivia?
Beery trivia. That's the other thing.
You know, let's get back to the beers, man. I know these guys got shit to do, so, and I'm a drunk, so let's do it.
Hey, why not?
What do we got next, man?
Uncle Jackson's Blonde Ale.
Again? Uncle Jackson's Blonde Ale.
You got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anything special we should know about Uncle Jackson and his...
Uncle Jackson's is a traditional British pale ale made with 25% wheat to smooth that out a little bit. Traditional British hops, Fuggles, EKGs, and it is, if you went to England and asked for a pale ale, this is the type of beer you would get, except that it's got wheat in it to smooth it out for the American taste.
Awesome. Very good. What do you think?
It's our number one seller.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. We sell more of it than anything. Can I hit the guy with the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, hit him hard, man. So, do you guys have a flagship beer at all, or do you guys just kind of hit him with five?
Well, when we first came out, the first two beers we did were Uncle Jackson's Blonde Ale and Major McNair's Nut Brown Ale. Uncle Jackson was kind of made, I think we were looking for a beer that would appeal the masses. Like I said, we're a Bud Town, a Labatt Town. Right. We were the new guy, and we didn't want to come in, I think, over the top. Nothing with a big hop profile and no big beers, things like that. We want to start, you know, start in square one to start educating people on craft beer.
Right.
So... his answer was Blonde Ale, and we came with Uncle Jackson because obviously the history of Kohler Brewery in this town, Kohler was actually owned, the name was actually still owned by one of the major macro breweries in the country, and they wanted big dollars for the name Kohler, and you don't really want to touch Kohler anyway, but what we want to do is somehow associate and pull a little bit of the history of the brewing in this town and pull it with our first beer. And Uncle Jackson Kohler was a name we came up with, but we go by Uncle Jackson around here. So it's the beer for the masses. It's our number one selling beer. Just an easy blonde ale, a little closer to amber in color, but it goes over big. If we can convert any Bud drinkers over, I think we've done it. I think we've done it.
Hell yeah. I totally support that too, man. It's a very good beer. What do you think of it, Spoon?
I don't know if the blonde ale is going to convert too many Bud drinkers, but it's... I wasn't a Blonde Ale fan before, but you just converted me on that one. I have to give you credit for that. He doesn't like the wheat. I don't like the blondes, but you just converted both of us on these. I looked at the list here, and I'm thinking, oh, man, right off the bat, we got two beers that neither one of us usually like the style for. But
yeah, but you know what? The next one coming up, we both love. We're hop freaks.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh.
anal retentive hop fans, man. So
I'm in trouble.
Why is that?
Well, the biggest trouble is I am a British ale fan. And the first hop, this is number 5 of my IPAs. And what I've discovered really is that my IPAs are way too malty. And the malt covers up the hop. I mean, this beer has got, I don't know, 100 IBUs. But the problem is it's Cascades, Magnums, and Columbus. But the problem is the malt that I really like in my beers kind of covers up the hops. And that's just, what can I say? You know, I'm not a hophead, guys.
That's right. I definitely am, but I can understand where you're coming from. And for me, I guess, saying that I'm a hophead, like the Imperial IPAs, and, you know, that to me is just anything super hopped up I really, really love. But going that route, though, still good. Still got the hops. You can smell the hops, taste the hops. It's killer.
Yeah, I mean, the hops are there. I mean, like I said, there's 6 pounds of Cascades in the mixture, Yakima Magnums and Columbuses. I mean, there's a huge amount of hops in this. But the problem is I haven't, kind of went back and did nothing but the hops. So when you taste it, you're going to taste the hop. But you're all going to taste the malt, which to me is what a beer should be. But that's me.
Right, and, you know, that's why I love, you know, the small craft brewers, because, you know, that's your idea of a good beer. And, you know, you got to do what you love, and, you know, and that's what gives everything variety.
Now, I want to make sure I heard this right. Did you say 100 IBUs?
Yeah, it's 100 IBUs.
That's pretty hoppy.
Yeah, it is. But
that's a lot of bite to it.
And if you took out all the malt, right, curl your toes.
Yeah, I was going to say, because usually over 100, you can't really taste the bitterness to it anymore.
But
we're about to find out here, though.
I was drinking this one earlier, brother. I already know it's good. Sick puppy got a head start. But, you know, the hops and the malt, it bounces really well together. It's a very, very good beer. So kudos to you, man. Yeah, it's very good.
To make balanced beers. That's always been my thing. I've never been one of these guys that says, you know, I want my beer to be so hoppy that's all you taste. That's not me. And I also want it to be so malty, like a lot of German spazins and stuff like that are just so malty you can't taste it. So I've tried to really balance them out, and that's been one of my things with my IPAs is I have a tendency to throw too many malts in there, and they're not what the American group wants
in an IPA. I mean, well, that's what's cool about you and this brewery is you do it your way, and, you know, that makes you unique, which I love, you know. So what do we got next, man? Apparition Amber Ale.
There has to be a story behind Apparition.
I'm thinking ghost here or something, I would assume, right?
Sure, it's got to be a good one.
There's a lot of urban legends around this building. Of course, it's an old train station, and a lot of history and a lot of the public had come and gone through here, a lot of eerie old-timers. And the story's gone on for a lot of years, but we actually named Apparition in honor of our resident ghost, Clara. Clara is caused a lot of mischief around here, and anything goes wrong.
Is she hot?
She's hot.
She's 6.
Yeah, she's 6.
Oh, wow.
She's, so... Yeah. So yeah, sick puppy. She's hot. The story goes, the stairwell behind me here that leads right over by the brewery. As the story goes, Clara met her demise at the foot of that stairwell when she was a young girl. She was climbing the stairwell, ready to board a train. You can see also the tracks up there behind me in the window. But Clara was climbing up, and her father was leading the way up the steps, and he swung her out the luggage and knocked Clara backwards down to the foot of the stairs, and where she lost her life. So a lot of stories of what goes on around here, crazy stuff with sounds and lighting and just odd, peculiar, unexplainable events go on, and you know, Claire is the reasoning. So we that was our, I believe, third beer we did, and you know, I hope she likes it.
I hope I do too.
Well, you know what,
and sorry girl, that was a really sick comment, so
she was sick,
forgive me.
She's aged well over the years. Well, I'm sure she's aged well over the years that she's, you know, able to drink this fine beverage.
Yeah, I hope she's hot now. Oh, cheers, Spoon. Let's give this one a shot.
Say anything, guys, but she's dead.
It doesn't matter for him.
Dead girls don't say no.
She may still be warm.
She may still be warm, you know. Better keep
drinking. If we're going to go on this route, man, I got all night. She was good and very sweet for a lifeless piece of ice-cold meat. Hey, you know, beer-related, necrophilia. Lay back and crack open a cold one.
I went out with a couple girls like that.
No way.
I've been married.
We want names.
I've been married for 34 years, guys. It ain't going to happen.
Oh, wow, that apparition amber ale is very good, yeah. Man. Awesome.
You know, I do have to say that of all the breweries that we've been to, this is the first time we've gone 4 for 4.
Yeah, I mean, we are honest pricks. If we don't like the beer, we'll tell you. But
we'll tell you
so far, so good, man. So kudos to you.
We've heard you guys are honest pricks.
Wait, honestly pricks or honest pricks? What do you
honest pricks. So, yeah, we're a little skeptical, but no.
No, glad you approve.
Yeah, I mean, don't hold back. I am a prick. Hey, we got a little Nut Brown coming up next.
Nut Brown is definitely the next one. All right, so here we go. Major McNair's Nut Brown.
As long as they're not your brown nuts.
So how many nuts do you use in this beer?
Ladies and gentlemen, that there right there is absolutely internet gold.
That there right there? What the fuck was that?
That there right there is internet gold.
Yeah, where are you guys from? You guys from Union City?
No, actually.
Least I'm not from Erie. Just kidding.
No, actually, I can say I'm from Wesleyville, so.
Oh, okay, Wibleyville. We used to go down to Wibleyville, you know. We get on the old bus, and then we go down there and go to Wibleyville, you know.
Yeah, I grew up in Butler, PA, man. I can't make fun of nobody else's town.
You know, we have, like, population 300 down there. Why you got to pick on us like that? There's a reason why I moved to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It's because I couldn't get good craft beer. And honestly, if this stuff was here.
Well, that's because we weren't here.
Exactly. There was no craft beer here besides Erie Brewing when I left.
Yeah. All right. So let's try Major McNair's Nuts. See how they taste. Is this beer salty?
I think we have Major McNair right here.
Malty? Yes, it is malty.
Well, I said salty, but malty's good.
Malty. No, we don't use salt in our beer. I think Miller does that, don't they? When they make chiquiza or whatever
chill.
The hell that stuff
the
is.
Chill.
Yeah, they throw a little salt in there. You know, what the,
salt.
The hell is that,
chill,
you know?
Like that. Great American
no.
Beer Fest, they talk about
this is actually a traditional nut brown made with some Victory malt that gives you a rather biscuity flavor. But it is a traditional, there's a train going by. It is a traditional brown ale, and hopefully, you know, what can I say? You like it.
I hope so. I'm kind of on the fence with the brown ales. You know, some I like, some I don't. Depends on the brewer, so we'll see if you suck or not.
Well, since I'm a really nice guy and I'm bigger than you, you'll like it.
Touche.
You know what? This by far has to be the best brewer, well, besides the screaming.
We have fans in the balcony.
By far, this is the only brewmaster that's ever given you this much shit in one show.
I know. I always want brewmasters that I talk to be honest and give me shit back, but you're the first one, dude. Congrats. I appreciate that.
I think he could take you.
I know he could take me. I smoke and I'm a drunk. He could kick my ass.
Well, I'm a former Green Beret. I can take your ass.
I'm a current alcoholic and a smoker. He can kick my ass. And thank you for your service, by the way. And by the way, this is a very, very good Nut Brown, man.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. 5 for 5.
Oh, dude, 5 for 5.
One of my favorite beer breweries actually is Sammy Smith's in Tattershire, England. They make they're Nut Brown, oatmeal stout, and stuff. And that's what I was trying to shoot for, was their brown ale when I made this. And it's come close. I mean, I don't want to say I'm there.
You know, I've had the Samson's Nut Brown. That's pretty damn close, man. I mean, I don't want to say one way or the other because I don't have both of them sitting next to me, but, you know. Yeah, goddamn right.
Now, see, I have one issue with Sam Smith. The bottles that we've been able to get a hold of, there's floaties in it. And I don't mean little ones. I mean, like, logs floating in it. So I don't know if it's the batch that we're getting.
There's nothing in beer. There's nothing in beer. Even if it's a floaty, that's going to hurt you. All you're actually doing is taking accumulation of glutens and yeast and forming anything. And if you don't like it, spit it out. But it will not hurt you. And it's actually one of the one things that shows you that in Chatham, England, they are making a traditional brown ale, and they're bringing it all together. The floaties are just irrelevant.
Right.
They may have been around for it. They may have been around for a while, but they're not going to hurt you.
And I'm a home brewer myself, so I'm kind of used to all that sediment and funk in my beer anyway. So,
well, it's not so much that the floaties bother me. It's when they all collect together into one big log. It's mostly with the oatmeal we noticed this. We were pouring this when we were at one of our six-pack shops, and for some reason, every single bottle, when you would pour it, it came out like a log towards the end of it. And I know how the style is. I know how the beer is.
Well, then you need to light it.
I figured I could just put it into like a brown paper bags, put it on your steps, and then light it. Can
go.
I do that?
My dog will love it.
There you go.
He loves to eat beer, you know?
All right. Before I give any kids any bad ideas, we got a seasonal here at the end. Can you explain the seasonal? Oh, you had another story earlier you wanted to talk about, didn't you?
You know, Samuel Smith is also one of my favorite breweries, but I did notice this year that they're converting some of their clear bottle products to dark bottles, and I just actually had a winter welcome, 0708 winter welcome, and first thing I noticed, man, clear bottle's gone. They're in the brown bottles. So maybe the floaties might have.
It's part of the whole skunking process.
Yeah.
Then for me, and I have friends that, you know, have been over there, and they're big Sam Smith fans here. And they say it's 10 times better over there because it's not coming over on the freight ships, and, you know, it's way fresher.
You know, it's like any of your imported beers. It's like if you can get Pilsner or Kell fresh, it's unbelievable, but you get it the normal place and it's but you know, and that's what it takes. I mean, you know, you need to get the beer fresh. Importing beer is not a good, you know, I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but if it's been a long time sitting at the sun, yes, yeah, I mean, most of them are not, how should I say this, fucking Budweiser, that have been so processed.
You can say that on our show. It's okay.
Oh, I can say that? Okay. Okay. But, you know, they're so processed that, you know, when you really get good beer, I mean, you know, you don't know what. And, you know, when other beers come over from that are imported, they're not processed the way we get this beer today. And they have a tendency to change. You know, it's just the way beer is.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you guys, too, is how is the shortage of hops going to affect you guys? Are your prices going up, or, you know, are you going to change the styles that you're brewing?
I don't want to change the styles that I'm brewing, but hops have almost doubled in price. Right. Fuggles, which is a pretty much standard if you're doing British ales, have over doubled in price. They were 7-something, now they're 16-something a pound. Chris and I have to sit down and really look with each other and say what we need to do. You know, do we need to increase our prices to cover the fact that the hops are just safe? But also malt has gone up. Went up 5 or 6 cents a pound. Everybody says 5 or 6 cents a pound, that's not a big deal. But when you're buying thousands of pounds, it is a big deal. So we really have to sit down and look. If we can get the hops that we want, we've got our standard hops. Our hop supplier has said we will get the hops that we used last year, no problem. We have a wish list of other hops. Will we get them? You know, we'll have to see. And it all boils down to what we're going to be able to get as to whether we're going to be able to continue our price. We may have to increase it, you know, marginally, but not a great deal.
Right. I mean, if you appreciate craft beer anyway, you shouldn't mind paying an extra, you know, whatever, 50 cents or 75 cents a beer.
Now, here's one thing I want to know. I mean, since you guys do have the train tracks out here, One of our favorite local brewers is Scott Smith from East End Brewing. He makes midnight runs to go pick up hops at different stations. I mean, are we going to see you down in the Strip District picking up hops so you can bring them back up here so you can brew?
Probably
not.
Just
gonna hijack the train.
We're just going to hijack the train before it gets through here. The biggest problem isn't so much the hop suppliers, Hop Union, Crosby & Baker. They're getting so many hops. And what they're saying is, we will give you the same amount of hops you had last year, but we're not going to increase them. We are at the point that we can get all the hops we used last year, but if I want to change something to do something different with it, then that's where we get into the problem of getting different hops. Yeah, and I'd like to do what you were just doing to, you know, there's different people saying that the reason the hop prices have gone up is the big guys are buying out all the hops to hurt all the microbreweries, saying, hey, you know, if you want to go compete with us, you now have to raise your prices because you can't get the hops. And
I think the ethanol production has a lot to do with that as well. You know, the farmers just, hey, we're getting more money for, you know, making the corn for the ethanol. Let's do that instead, you know.
It depends on what you're reading. I've read everything from just poor crop season to, you know, the surplus of 92 to the conspiracy theories of, you know, big breweries and importers buying out just to stick it to the little guy. I've heard so much and read so much. I haven't got a definitive answer. Everybody has different, you know.
Right, Ed. I mean, this is for another show, but I think ethanol's a friggin' joke anyway. So grow more hops, you farming bastards.
Yeah.
I need the drink. So let's go to the seasonal. What's the seasonal called?
Seasonal is called One, and it is actually a Belgian dark, and we're a Belgian porter, depending on who you're talking to.
So I heard earlier maybe a porter with a Belgian yeast added.
Yeah, and Gary can tell you a little about the strain. But, yeah, we just made it for our anniversary, and we just came up on a one-year anniversary, so that's our seasonal. It's actually been a really big hit. We've gotten you know, our beer geeks and dark beer enthusiasts, all the way down to our lay drinkers, to really grasp it and enjoy it. So, enjoy.
It's a very good beer. It's the first one I had when I showed up. We know Chris because he's so damn late for you. I have a birthday party. I can't see you now. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the one?
It was actually sort of a strange thing. I'm good friends with the guy over at Rocky River. I don't know if you guys have been there or not. But he made a Baltic porter. And I thought, you know, I like porters. Porters are my favorite beers. If I go into a brew pub, first thing I ask for is a porter. And I thought, you know, I'm going to throw this together. But just to make it different, I'm going to use the yeast that I use to make my wit beer. Only because it was there, and I thought, you know, I haven't done it before. So, you know, when you're on your own, you know, you can do these things. So I came up with a pseudo porter that wasn't as strong as a lot of porters, and I fermented it out with the yeast that I made my wit beer with. And this is what you get. It's kind of light in the sense it doesn't have a whole lot of mouthfeel, but it's got a nice flavor. And that's what we did. And it was the one. We probably will never do it again. We'll make something different for two. But, you know, it was just one of those things, you know, and it's been accepted really well. And
yeah, I'm glad I was here to try it, man. Excellent, excellent beer. And holy shit, I think we're out of samplers.
One thing I did want to bring up about the samplers, did you notice what it was held in?
It's the Keystone State.
Yeah.
Now that's creative.
We'll be stealing these later.
No, but we have listeners all over the country, so we have to explain to them what the Keystone State is.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I have listeners from all over the world. I mean, my favorite listener is from Romania. How the hell did he find us? Exactly. The Internet's a wonderful, wonderful tool for some lonely bastard in Romania.
One thing I was saying, we were talking about the craft beer movement, and one thing we decided early on, and I don't think we touched on this, but not only do we serve our own beers like any brew pub, a lot of brew pubs really push their draft and their bottles and nothing else. What we decided to do from the get-go is basically bring in all the bottles from Pennsylvania breweries. Awesome. These are the guys we met along the way. Some of them giving us advice. Some of them become really good friends from Erie Brewing down to the guys at Penn. All across the state, I've had a chance to meet almost everyone from every brewery, either an owner or a brewer, over the course of the past 5 or 10 years. And they give sound advice, and they make good products, and they're family, and they're small. You know, most of them are pretty small scale. So we decided to bring in, and that's all we carry. If you're not going to drink our beer, you're going to drink a Pennsylvania product, which is cool. And the other thing, along the same lines, we have a full liquor license. We have all the spirits on the back bar. But we also decided to just handle local wineries. So that was another thing. I know Gary's wife likes wine, and my wife and I will go out around town, and two things you couldn't find is a local beer and a local winery, and we're in wine country, man. I mean, there's a hell of a lot more wineries up here than there ever be breweries. So we said, man, you can go to any place, in any bar, restaurant, no matter, you know, corner dive or upscale, and you can't get a local wine. So we decided early on to say, hey, man, there's six local wineries that are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we have, I believe, up to 20 bottles of representing all of them. So it's real cool. And the support's mutual, and they say a lot of good things and help us out on some of the pricing and things like that. So it's great.
And now that you brought that up, I couldn't help but find one item on your menu that we got to try here while we're recording. The beer garita, is that what it's called?
Beer garita.
Can you get us a couple of those? Yeah, we got to do these on the show, man. Because our fans will be like, dude, you guys are just whacked.
Before we get into the whole beer garita thing, I do want to say that it is very respectable that there is places that are willing to support local brewers.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that we love very much, is the fact that, you know, we have like 5 or 6 breweries down in Pittsburgh, and everyone sticks together. In Northwest Pennsylvania, you guys are, you know, everyone's finally starting to come around. You got Voodoo, you've got Sprague Farm, you know, you've got the Brew Erie. I had to watch, so I didn't tongue twist on that one.
Yeah, North Country.
Yeah, North Country also.
North Country, you got
the Erie. And Four Sons are... The Four Sons Brewery is coming back also.
Yeah.
That's the same guy from Voodoo is reopening the Four Sons, which kicks ass. Yeah. Matt.
Trying to open back up. The one thing that most people don't realize is that Erie has had, or Pennsylvania has had, over 860 registered breweries, more than any state in the anything. You know, there have been more breweries in Pennsylvania than anywhere. And most people think, you know, well, there was Schmidt and there was Iron Sand, you know, but there was a ton of different breweries. And we're trying to, you know, promote the fact that, you know, we make, and the state of Pennsylvania has made some of the better beers that you have ever drank, you know. And if you were around, of course you weren't, but, you know, I mean, we have really produced a lot of beer in the state of Pennsylvania. I mean, we were the keystone, I say that sarcastically, of beer, really, throughout the state. New York, California, none of them come even close to the number of breweries that have been in the state of Pennsylvania. I mean, we're just far and beyond. And we're trying, when we started this, we thought, you know, we need to promote the fact that Pennsylvania was a huge brewing state, and that's why we're really producing the fact that Pennsylvania beer is number one. I mean, we really do make really good beer in the state of Pennsylvania.
At least they've proven that here tonight, man.
Yeah, because the key thing that I wanted to bring up is my favorite breweries are actually here in Pennsylvania. Weyerbacher is one of my favorite breweries.
Oh, yeah.
Voodoo.
Oh, yeah, Voodoo kicks my ass right now. Yeah.
Well, that passion fruit one they make is kind of on the fence with me, dude. The other ones, love them.
Victory. You got the Victory. The Hop Devil, I think, is one of the best ones. Trogues. Those guys. We have so much great beer in Pennsylvania, and nobody knows that they're from here.
Everybody's drinking, Budweiser, you know, God, I hate to say that, but Budweiser and Coors, when in effect, in the state of Pennsylvania, we have got beers that are just unbelievable. If you like beer, you should not be drinking anything from St. Louis or Milwaukee or Colorado. You should be drinking beer that was brewed in Pennsylvania.
I mean, that's why the reason we do this show, that's the reason we're here, you know, helping you guys out and pimping you guys, because we love the craft beer.
Oh, my God. Here's the beer garita. Look at that thing.
Wow, that's beer and tequila.
My wife, we were sitting around one day, and my wife and I came up with this, and we said, oh, God, this is
Oh, my God, that's good.
That's fucking incredible. It's beer and it's tequila. How the hell did you come up with this recipe?
Well, you know what? We were looking. This is well before we even opened up. And, you know, we knew we were going to have a liquor license, but we also knew that we were going to have a lot of people come in here that if they couldn't get a light beer, they might kind of turn their nose up at us. So actually, Gary's wife was paging through some stuff and found a recipe. And basically, it was called a beer margarita, and we just kind of did our own thing. We kind of spun off the original recipe, did our own thing, added some lime juice, some Jose Cuervo, shake it on the rocks with some blonde ale, and you know what? It's a hit. We do $2 pints of it on Monday nights, and it's just like the ladies love it. Even guys, I'll tell you what, in the summertime, nothing beats a beer garita.
Dude, I'm not a margarita guy. But I drink that. That's very good. I'm taking that recipe home with me. It's very good. It actually makes me respect the friggin' margarita. So I'm cool with that.
I will finally convert you over to some hard liquor by the time we're done with the whole run of
I'm cutting him off, man. You ain't convert me to hard liquor. Anything other than whiskey, maybe.
I was going to say, wait, there was that one time where we did the cold hop with a shot of Rebel Yell.
Rebel Yell whiskey, it'll make you take back shit you never stole. If you've never had that, it will kill you. That's a rough whiskey. And hey, Spoon, I know we're on audio, but I want to see you chug that.
Ice cubes in
there. So, chug it. We got camera over there. Chug it, man.
Other than beer, my favorite, like the god of beer, Michael Jackson, my other favorite thing is bourbon. And, I mean, you know, when you're throwing some bourbon down and having a good time and, oh, God, he's putting the lime in the beer garita, you know, there's nothing like a good bourbon and a good beer. I mean, you know, they all work out the same, you know.
Hell yeah, dude. Alcohol is good food, my friend. So we're going to wrap this up. I know these guys got stuff to do, and one's got to go back to work, one has a birthday party, so... I want to thank you guys for hanging with us, man. Been real. What's your name again?
My name is Gary Burley. I'm the brewer. And if you go on to, what the hell's Lou Bryson? I am the biker brewer. So, yeah.
There you go. Check it out, man. And Chris, thanks again for hosting us, man. You want to do one last pimp for the brewery?
One last pimp for the brewery, yeah. We'll pimp it good, yeah. We're the Brewer Union Station. We're at 123 West 14th in downtown Erie. You can get us online at www.brewery.com, B-R-E-W-E-R-I-E. Phone up here is 814-454-2200. We're on MySpace, too, if you search us. So open every day of the week. Sunday we do close, though. Day of rest, football, and family, God, and a good pint at the house, so.
What about us alcoholics, man? You got beers to go, right? Can you get growlers here?
We have growlers to go, yeah. For sale on the shelf. Plus, we're always glad to fill anybody else's growler. Bring some glass in from another fine brew pub around. All kinds of cool beer gear and stuff to go. We sell six-pack samplers of all our regional and Pennsylvania breweries. So you can come in here and get six of the finest beers around to go.
All right, bro. Hey, thanks again, man. I know it's your birthday, and you should get back to your damn party. I appreciate spending time with us, man.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thank you.
If I have any last words for you, happy birthday and eat a bullet.
All right. Enjoy the beer.
This has been Sick Puppy from ShouldIDrinkThat.com.
And the Most Reverend Father Spoon signing out from the Brew Erie. I also want to let you guys know about their awesome daily features. We've got Monday Ladies Night. It's a mini chair massages at 6 p.m. plus $2 margaritas and martinis all night. Tuesday, there's $2 pints all night.
Wait, I got to interrupt. You got massages. Is there a happy ending?
Oh, dude, I was on a roll there.
Monday nights, always happy endings.
Okay, take that for what it's worth, but go ahead and continue, Spoon.
I was on a roll there, trying to pimp the specials. Tuesday is $2 pints all night, $2 pints and $2 beer brat hoagies. Wednesday is wings and wizen. Yeah, see, I got wizen out, and I've been drinking tonight. Half off wings and $1 pints of Hefeweizen. Thursday, you've got burgers and logo pints. Buy a logo pint and fill it for $2. Saturdays, $5 pitchers, 10 to midnight. Come down here. Have a good time. Enjoy Erie Penn.
And right before we go, we got a fan of ours sitting here.
Two fans.
One that corresponds with us. The other one's, he's the mystery fan. So get over here, guys, real quick before we end this, man. You guys want to introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit why you love this brewery, man.
I'm Dom. I come here all the time. It's really close to my house. This is fucking awesome.
It's within stumbling distance for Dom.
I'm OJ, and I live very far from here, but it's worth the drive coming down here to get this great beer down here. I've been drinking it for almost a year now, and I can't get enough. It's great.
That's awesome, guys. I'm glad you guys are here with us, man, and I wish I lived closer because I could stumble home. That'd kick ass, but it's like an hour and a half back to my place, which sucks. But, you know, fuck it. God will drive you home, right? All right. Again, man, this has been Sick Puppy.
And the Most Reverend Father Spoon.
And this has been ShouldIDrinkThat.com, where even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
So we're finally here. We finally made it. It is the Great International Beer Festival in Erie Penn. We just got here to the first table where they have Love from Uni Brew. What was the one you just had?
I just had the Burger Brow, the BB.
The double B. That's what I just have. I had the Mondeet in honor of our good friends over at the Beer Report for Groucho and Chud, since that seems to be the big thorn in their side. Tasted delicious, so we're also assuming that we won't let this drop for as long as we know those guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very cool room that we're in right now. This actually used to be where Sabella's Catering was once housed, from what we heard. Looks familiar. But right now, it's filled with liquid love. The kind of love that Father Spoon likes.
Yeah, there's I think about 60 different beers here from all around the world. Some good, some bad. We're about to find out.
We're going
to
drink a lot of them. So let's see here. At table number one is importer number one. Now we got Bitburger, a bunch of stuff I can't pronounce, Lion's Stout, O'Hara's Red, and Uni Brew. There we go. Father Spoon's still feeling some love from last night.
In that blue.
This would be a good spot for us to put in the audio bit that we have from the rep.
Yeah, Sick Puppy's feeling a little rough from last night. We kind of tore this place down last night.
Yeah, we put a hurting on a lot of beer.
Day number two, man.
But you know what? There's nothing like coming to a beer festival in the middle of the afternoon and getting your drink on, enjoying the day, even though it is a balmy 38 degrees outside right now. And there's a lot of people wearing their stocking hats and everything else. Because, well, hey, you know what? In Erie, it gets cold pretty damn quick.
Yeah, it's quite frigid.
Which is more reason to drink good beer.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we're going to hit the first table here and maybe talk to some folks. And what do you know? There's the brewer.
There's the guy that causes all the trouble. There's Gary. He's walking by. He's probably still bitter after last night because we broke him. Okay, so we're going to go here to the first table. We're going to try some of these out. There's people squealing, I think, because they know Sick Puppy. So, all right. Yeah, let's see what's coming up.
My name's Aaron Russell. I work for Edinburgh Beverage Distributors in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Aaron, and if you could tell us about the beverages you brought today.
We actually brought two styles. We have Russian-style beer and German-style beers. We have the Baltica number 3, the number 6, and the number 8. The number 3 is our classic lager-style beer. It's a little lighter, a little easier to drink. It's got more of a European-style themed lager to it than a regular American or German-style lager, which is more of an amber-style, heavier. The Baltica Porter is probably one of the easier porters you can drink because it's got so many different flavors in it. It's a full-bodied flavored beer. It's really sweet. It's be comparable like a Yingling Porter with that dark roasted kind of malt hop combination.
Yeah, one thing I noticed when I was sampling that too is usually with most of the porters, it's either extremely light or extremely heavy with body to it. But this one seems to be a nice, perfect medium body to it, which is really rare for us to find with, like I said, with most of the porters that we've had.
Well, it's almost confusing when you're drinking it too, because when you look at it, it almost looks like tar. But it's that real hidden flavor that it has. Like I said, there's so many different variables in the beer itself that it makes it so sweet. And it makes it easy to drink. It's not one of those ones that you can only drink two of them.
Yeah.
You're full on it, and you feel like you're going to pass out for 5 hours. So, which is nice about the Baltica wheat as well, is it's not a Belgian-style ale. It's more of a, like I said, once again, a European-style ale. So it's going to be a little bit more of your cloudier-style beer. It's going to be a little easier to drink, a little nicer body to it. But then when you get into the Hacker Shores, you're looking at the traditional German-style beer. You're looking at the heavy hitters of the guys who really put the October in Oktoberfest as far as it goes. And that's the wheat beer that they have with us. It's actually pronounced Weiss. But that's one that's another, like I said, a cloudy style beer. Be real easy, real smooth drinking. A lot of people do like it with the orange and the lemon zest because that citrus in it really helps bring out a lot more of the flavor and gives you a better palate. And it gives you a little bit more flavor as far as the beer goes. The Oktoberfest, probably one of the best Oktoberfests I've ever had. It's got a nice palate, but it doesn't have an aftertaste.
I like the amount of malts that are in that one. That's the one that I had just got done trying. And it surprised me because I've had a lot of Oktoberfests this year. The season's pretty much winding down. But that one, this is the first time I've had that this year. It's the amount of malts in that was perfect. It wasn't overpowering, and it wasn't too little. It seemed like they nailed it.
Well, and it leaves you with just enough. Like a lot of your Oktoberfest beers, you get left with that real kind of lick in the back of your throat taste that, you know, you need a salt lick to actually get the taste out of your mouth. Whereas this one, it's real smooth, real light. It doesn't give you a whole lot on the back, but in the front, it's just got that nice kind of bouquet. It's just real easy to take down, and it's one of those ones that's, if there was a sipping beer, that would be a sipping beer, just because it's so enjoyable.
Well, very cool. Thank you very much. And do you guys have a website, or do you want to promote your phone number? Anything like that? Address?
It'd be 300 Mill Street, Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. The phone number is 814-734-5997.
There you go. You're in the area. Check it out. Thank you very much. Standing here at the Brew Erie booth, the slogan for this one is Real Food, Real Beer, Real Historic Atmosphere. Very cool t-shirts are hanging up right now. It's Keep Erie Beard. At the brewery at Union Station. That's right. That's where we're hanging out at. These guys are generous enough to play host for this wonderful international great beer festival. And let me tell you, it's some liquid love. That is the quote for the day. That's what we're experiencing is liquid love. And we just found a room that has food in it. So guess what? We're going to go get our food on.
We're here enjoying some man candy.
Dickhead. Would you like to get some more man candy?
Yeah, lots more man candy.
We're going to get some man candy. Ugh. All right, headphones are coming off because I got to go eat later. Let's see, one of the things I've noticed here is this is a very good beer festival for people that are just now getting into craft beers. And besides those of us that have been established, I mean, there's some of our favorites.
Oh,
like,
right, yeah.
Because I'm not going to shut the hell up about the course and knock it all. Or the Delirium. But also, if you're just starting out in craft beer, I think this is one of the perfect festivals to come to because you can still have, you know, if you don't find something you like, you can still go back, you can get a Corona. This guy just fucking elbowed me. You can get a Corona. You can get, you know, it's we're in front of the Modelo, the Negra Modelo, St. Pauli Girl, Pilsner Oracle. You know, it's Foster's and Moosehead is in front of us.
And don't forget the Pacifico.
Yeah, Pacifico. But also, you know, it's a nice progression from... Now, you've got your standard beers going all the way around until you get into your hardcore craft beers, like the table next to us. So actually, they have this designed really well for the people that are starting out. Unless you start at table number one and you have the Uni Brew and you just get your world rocked. Because then you're going to end up over at the Corona and you're going to say, well, what the fuck is this? So I'm digging the layout of this so far. There are some contests that we might be entering here to win free stuff. There's a Moosehead Mirror and also a...
If you have the goal of trying each beer at each table just to get drunk and going around the room, you will have rot gut by the end of the day, I assume.
Yeah, you know, drink responsibly. Respect beer. And,
so many different
styles. And as I say that, I'm getting ready to enter a contest for a mirror of Modelo. We're here for ShouldIDrinkThat.com beer reviews. We're going to head over to another table here soon. It looks like we're going to jump over to number 5. We go 1 to 5, or two's over there. You know what? We don't really give a shit at this point. Let's just start drinking some beer.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I don't really have a plan here. I'm just going to go up to people and ask for beer. What could be better than that?
All right, we're going to go find some more beer. We'll see if there's some more people around here that might want to talk to us about the different beers that they're drinking right now. What else do we have around here? I'm trying to look at all the banners, but there's a lot of tall people. Very, very tall people here. I don't know, maybe we'll surprise you. We'll see what's coming up. And what's your name?
Bill Sommer.
All right, now, who is one of the main distributors for Erie? Like, who are these places, like, not necessarily the Brew Erie, but most of the other beer distributors go to be the main supplier?
That I don't know. Whenever I make my beer runs, I usually just go up to the Beer and Pop Warehouse there on Peninsula Drive in Erie, but I'm not sure if Pete gets it from one place or multiple places.
Now, how big of a scene is there for craft beer in Erie? Because we're from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So it's, you know, we found out about this beer fest, so we decided to come up for it. And Chris had sent us a message and just said, hey, man, it's, you know, this, we're going to have all these brewers or all these beers that are up here. They'll come up and take a look at it. We started driving around and realized there's not really too many bars around here or places where craft beer is available. So is this something new that's coming up?
Yeah, I think they had their first, earlier this year in April, they had a craft brew beer fest here in the same venue. And they had probably 40 different craft brewers up here, and it was a tremendous success. I mean, this place was wall-to-wall people, and people were just loving it.
Spread the word of craft beer, man. That's the way to go, you know.
Now, Bill was telling us this before I turned on the microphone, so then I realized we have to get a copy of this. How many cases of Dogfish Head 120 Minute are available in the Erie area?
I think I got the only one. The only one that was able to be had anyway, and
one case. Now, are there other ones like the 60, 90 minute? Are there any other ones that are? Yeah, is it just the 120 that's having a lot of problems getting?
The 120 is a problem. 60 and 90 minute are fairly available, and you know those are pretty much staples. But
yeah, they're year-round beers.
Yeah, but the 120 is really hard to get in Erie, and for somebody from Ohio like myself, it's impossible because of our laws in Ohio. So,
is there an alcohol cap in Ohio?
Yes, it's 12% in Ohio. So
not bad, but could be better.
Now, see, I didn't know that there was a limit to the amount of alcohol in beer in Ohio.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's good information.
Now, does that also count for home brewers too, or is that just beer that you can sell?
That's just for beer that you can sell. For I guess for home brewers, they can pretty much do it. Now, there are places in Ohio where you can go that they have stuff on the back shelves and stuff like that, where you can get stuff that's over the 12% limit. But legally, you're the 12% is the limit.
Now, would they be able to sell that in like a state store or liquor store or anything like that, or is it just you can't sell anything over 12?
You just can't sell anything over 12.
So what's been your favorite beer so far?
Probably the Delirium, I believe, was our favorite. That was so far. But we've got a long way to go. We haven't even just getting to the first hour. So we've got two more hours to go and a lot of beers to try.
Now, see, that is the perfect answer.
And on that note, Spoon, I'm getting thirsty, so let's grab some beers.
We have to go find some more beers. Bill, it's been a pleasure.
All right.
And, yeah, we're going to go find some more beers to drink. Okay, if you could say your name and your job, who you work for.
My name is Becky. I work for Erie Brewing Company. It is a microbrew in Erie.
So can you tell us a little bit about the brewery?
Well, I just started in August, so all I know is we make great beer. I'm very new to the craft beer industry in general. They're one of the first beers I've ever had outside of like your big macro brews. Fell in love with it. So
what's your favorite beer?
That used to be really easy to answer. Now it's really, really hard. If I'm going to be drinking for a while, Prescott Pilsner. If I'm only going to have a couple, the Rail Bender is banging. It's awesome.
So what got you into everything? Like, what was your first craft beer that you had? That when you tried it, you said, holy shit, I got to start selling this stuff, or I got to get more involved with this.
Actually, the first craft beer I ever had was Presque Isle Pilsner. And I didn't really think about selling it at all. I had, like, that wasn't my intent. I, like, wrote a letter to the company. I'm like, I love your beer, blah, blah, blah. you know, I'd like to do promotions with you once in a while, something fun. And then I just got a phone call, hey, you want to work for us? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
So where would you say Erie Brewing stands within most of Pennsylvania? I'm going to drill you with craft beer questions now. This is going to put you, it's going to put you on the spot. I will give you some leeway since you're just now getting into this. But how would you rank this up against, say, a Yingling?
Well, we're definitely not Yingling. I mean, we're in eight states, but we're not Yingling.
I'm trying to toss some softballs to get you started before I really grill you.
That's not fair.
All right, I'll try to take it a little bit easier for you then. I won't compare it to Yingling, but say, I guess, like a Victory.
I've never had Victory. Okay, I'll tell you what I have. I've had Southern Tier, okay. Trogs, Appalachian Brewing. I can't remember if I had stouts or not. I went to the beer fest, but I don't remember if I tried any of their beer because I was like working my ass off. So I don't know.
All right. So you said you guys are in eight states. Is it just generally around Pennsylvania, or?
No, it's like, I mean, we're in eight states, but we're not. It's not like we flooded the market in all eight states. We have a presence. So it's like Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, Indiana. I think we just opened Delaware, Michigan, New Jersey. I don't know if that's eight or not, but so, I mean, we're doing really well. We're doing very well. I'm trying to get more of like a local support though, really.
If you could have any, besides the pills, if you could have any other beer that you guys make, is the last beer that you ever drink, besides the pills,
okay,
what would it be?
The Heritage Alt.
Oh, that's a good choice. We just got some of that in down in Pittsburgh.
It is one of my favorite seasonals. It's awesome.
Now, if anybody would like to get some of that beer, we will ship some out to you, but you have to write us an email and let us know why we should send you a beer. This shit ain't free, so you got to work for it. What do you have to say about the Misery Bay IPA? We had our first bottle of that last night.
What did you think of the Misery Bay?
Oh, I loved it. But see, we're going to be doing a review of that coming up with Jim at the end of December. So I don't want to ruin it for all my listeners right now on what I think about it.
Okay, all I'm going to say is I am not a hophead. Like, I don't like really strong hoppy beers, but that is a very drinkable IPA. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. Like, I was kind of nervous, like, oh, we're making an IPA. But it was actually really good. So
have you had very many other IPAs before? Or?
I had Southern Tier's IPA, and I was burping up hops for like an hour or two.
Now, was it their standard, or did you have the Unearthly?
You know what? I don't know. I only had one. It was at a bar in, like, Mayville, New York, and I didn't ask. I'm just like, yeah, I'll take that. It's a craft beer.
Now, that's always a good way to answer that. It's the fact that that part of New York does have craft beer really amazes me. We just found out recently that actually how close Southern Tier was to Erie. It's only 45 minutes or so, which is extremely amazing. I mean, there's a lot of good craft beers that are being made in northwestern Pennsylvania and around the southern, I guess it would be southern west, southwest area of New York, if you want to call it. Look at a map. We're not teaching geography today.
Not geography.
There is one other beer I did want to ask about. The cease and desist. We've been hearing so much about the cease and desist. Kind of tease our listeners because it's just now getting into the market.
The story behind it?
Yeah.
Well, formerly Red Rider, we got two letters of cease and desist to get rid of the name and the label, or else we were going to get sued. So now it is Old Red Cease and Desist, inspired by the long arm of the law.
That is the one thing that we're finding out here with a lot of craft beers, is that the law likes to step in and fuck with your name.
But it's still the same beer. For anybody who knows Red Rider, Old Red is the same recipe.
So the recipe is still the same, just the name's changed. And it's still, I think it's around 9.2%.
10.1.
Oh yeah, we're getting more of that stuff. And you can also buy that over at Three Sons Dogs and Suds. I believe a six-pack of that was going for about $10. A little bit more. We'll check that out. We'll let you know. All right, Becky, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
good luck with your new job.
Thank you. Tasted the Skull Splitter. Very fine Scottish ale brewed by the Orkney Brewery, Orkney Islands in Scotland. Small brewery. Very malty, nice little sweetness to it, nice flavor. But Scotch Distillery is a Belgian brewery, from a Belgian brewery. It's an 8% Scottish ale brewed in Belgium, so it's got a little bit of both qualities. So it's tasty at 8%. And then also what I was just referring to, Troubadour Obscura. It's a Belgian mild stout, but it's 8% by volume. It's tasty as hell. Because you think about a Guinness stout, Guinness draft, which isn't really a stout, but
right.
A mild stout, and it's very, very flavorful. It gives you all the stout characteristics, but it gives you that 8% kick plus that Belgian flavor. If you're a Belgian lover, it's tasty. But we handle a lot of beers from this Global Beer Network. They have a website, globalbeer.com, and you'll find just about anything. And the Delirium comes from Wetton Importers. He's got a website. He handles the Delirium from the Hoog Family Brewery in Belgium, and Guten Carolus from the Het Anker Brewery in Belgium, and Castile from the Van Hansbroek Brewery in Belgium. They're just fantastic beers. They even have, if you're ever in the Pittsburgh market, look for something called Castile Red. The Castile Red, they actually brew it with the Castile Brown, which is 11%. They take a brand they call Bacchus, which I believe is some sort of sour ale, blend that, and then the juice from black cherries from Poland that they sell to the candy maker that makes the Mon Cheries, the chocolate-covered cherries, they come in 55-gallon drums, and they take that juice and give it to the brewery. They mix the three together. That's why that beer has such a unique flavor. It's off the wall, and at 8%, people are drinking, I really like this. And then next thing you know, they're going,
Yeah, they don't realize that even though it tastes delicious, that they're getting kicked in the ass with alcohol.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Delirium, I'm assuming that Noel is out already? Or?
We're just starting to get that into the market. It's in 25-ounce bottles, and also this year for a change, we were able to get it in 11.2-ounce bottles. So it's a little cheaper to the consumer. And then you probably had the
commitment, too, if you're by yourself.
Yeah. You probably already had the Guten Carolus Noel, their Christmas offering. Another fine, fine beverage. And we do carry the Corzendon Christmas also. That's nothing but good stuff, brother.
Good time for beer drinkers.
At least it's not pimping the Budweiser and the Coors, man.
No, if it's going to be domestic, I'm sorry, it has to be Iron City. Regular Iron City. Bucko Juice rules, baby.
I grew up with that, man. Go to a bar and can't find a good product.
Exactly. When we go out, if I can't find one of these products that we carry along with the micros, I'm drinking regular iron.
Yep.
Death the light beer.
Now see, here's the one thing that we need to work on. All the women seem to be hanging around the Corona. Yeah, it's all that cheap
shit.
You
should have been here earlier. There were some interesting young ladies here at our table.
We were trying to work our way around the room. We figured we'd start at one and just start going all the way around. But we always noticed the women always flock to Corona. We need to work on that. Get them to drink better beers.
They're drinking the Moosehead.
Well, they were drinking this and making quality comments like, "Oh, that is good."
That's a good step, though.
Places like this are great, or events like this.
Where do you gentlemen live?
Pittsburgh.
See? Usually when we say Pittsburgh, everyone's like, all right.
Yeah.
But if you know the area, you know it's really freaking big.
Good
See,
point.
I grew up in Oakmont. I live in Penn Hills now. Mm-hmm. I work in McKees Rocks, but I travel 27 counties for beer. So you say Pittsburgh, I want to punch you in the
head. I think it's about time for us to suck it up and get this next table over with. You guys are doing them a service by having great beers next one, because you're getting us to go over and try their stuff.
It's my job, and I live for getting it done.
You know what? You've got great beers here. Well, except for the motor oil that he had.
It wasn't mine.
Yeah, that's a table.
That's the best answer we could have. As long as it's not yours.
We have dogs too. Don't worry.
We're good. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, bud. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Cheers.
All right, so we're here with Chris from the Brute Erie. Looks like a pretty good turnout so far. How do you think everything's going today?
Oh, so far, so good, man. I think first session got a couple hundred people, a little light on that on the attendance for the first one. The second one should end up being a sellout, we hope. We're banking on about 500 people for next session. But so far, so good, man. People look like they're having a good time. And early crowd, I think there's some afternoon delight going on.
Afternoon delight.
Well, there's the coin phrase that we have for today is definitely liquid love. It's like we were here by the Corsonog, we were by the Delirium, we were over there by the Uni Brew, so we had we had to have the Maudit, we had the La Fin de Maud. That's definitely good, and there's a lot of eye candy around here too, which is never a bad thing.
I'm still burping up the beers from last night.
Yeah, Sick Puppy had a rough night.
I wouldn't say rough.
He had a long night. So how is it that you were able to get all of these distributors in here with all these beers?
Actually, I grew up in the beer industry, and family has a distributor on the other side of town, and just grew up, made a lot of good associates over the years, I should say. And actually, it came time, we don't serve any imported beer, like we talked about last night. It's all local stuff on the brewery side. But, I said, hey, let's do something different, do the imports, called them all up, said, hey, man, let's get down here, do a sampling, and have a good time. They're thrilled, we're thrilled, everybody here seems to be thrilled, so... It's cool, man. Working out. So far, so good.
Now, I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but this is what everyone's told us so far. It's, once we say we're from Pittsburgh, we're doing this show, they keep saying, you have to come up in April for the Brewfest. Now, just to give our listeners a little edge here, to tease them a little bit, what exactly do you guys have going on in April?
April 19th will be our second annual Micro Brewfest. And we teamed up with our local PBS affiliate last year to do it as a fundraiser. And we put about 1,200 people through here and for two sessions. And it was packed. It was nuts. We had 21 microbreweries from Pennsylvania and some from the eastern seaboard that came in. And it was just awesome. It was a great time. Sold out both sessions. So keep your eye out. Search it online. Check out or give us a call at the brewery or check at brewery.com online. And April 19th of 08, check it out, and sure to be a good time.
How do you fit 1,200 people in here? That's what I want to know.
It's tight. We did 600 a piece. 600 for a three-hour session and 600 for the next one. But it was, it was pretty slamming, man.
Well, I do have to say that a couple of the beer fests that we've gone to in the past, there's been like 500-600 people, and they were in rooms smaller than this.
Oh, yeah.
A lot smaller. There's no heat. There's no air. Body heat kind of dominates the whole thing, and you sweat your ass off.
I'll tell you what, the greatest thing about being in this old train station, we've got a ton of space. This room's ideal for things like this. We're not throwing people out in the street in a tent with heat lamps. This is actually a gorgeous old renovated train station. Just a beautiful atmosphere just to hang out, have a couple beers, and relax. It's not elbow to elbow. You can walk around. Plenty of room to sit and relax if you don't feel like standing. So, no, man, real enjoyable. We love it.
And if you do feel a little cramped, you can always go out there to Griswold Park, walk around a little bit. See beautiful downtown Erie, Pennsylvania. Maybe go over and hang out with Derek Drabcho over at Live WSEE 35. This is Father Spoon. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you.